Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Hi, and welcome to the debut episode of the Savvy Psychologist podcast. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson. On the show, I'll help you meet life's challenges with evidence-based research, a sympathetic ear, and zero judgment. We'll use the best of psychology to help you be happy, less stressed, and most importantly, yourself. For our first episode, we'll tackle how to ask for help. Asking for help may seem simple enough, but if you've ever needed a hand, you know how hard it can be. Because asking for help can turn the most self-assured, square-shouldered among us into a nail-biting mess. We may cast about vague wishes to no one in particular, blame others for our woes, or procrastinate until our problem has become an emergency. And you'd think that just asking for help would be preferable to all this misery, but taking action is tough for almost everyone. So we'll cover 5 common reasons why we stay silent and strategies for how to get the help you need without swallowing your pride. Reason number 1 is fear of being a burden. We often worry that asking for help takes something away from our helper, or we assume that our helper will view the task as an unwanted load. You can suspect this fear if you hear yourself saying, "She has better things to do," or "He has so much on his plate already." So in this case, remind yourself of this. People love helping. Not only does helping strengthen social ties, it makes helpers feel good about themselves. In fact, the most primitive part of the brain, the same reward pathway activated by food and sex, lights up in response to altruistic giving. So graciously allow your helper to give you a gift of help, and she'll likely be delighted for the chance. And if your helper is truly too busy or overburdened, trust her, just as graciously, to tell you so. A second thing you can do is think about how you'd feel if the tables were turned. If a friend were in your shoes and asked you for help, how would you feel? Most likely, you'd feel flattered and happy to pitch in. So trust that others will probably feel the same way when you ask. Then try this. Ask for something specific. "I could use some help" is fuzzy and borderless, so instead, aim for something clear and well-defined. You could say something like, "Thanks so much for asking. You know, I'd love some help with laundry. It's been hard for me to lift the basket since my surgery." However, steer clear of micromanaging. If your helper agrees to take on your task, trust that she is competent and let her do the job. Reason number 2 is fear of admitting we're out of control. This fear is particularly common when we realize that a long-ignored problem, a nose-diving relationship, or a hidden addiction is getting out of hand. It might feel like you've failed or that you can't handle it by yourself. So in this case, remind yourself of this. Sure, you could try by yourself, but why would you want to? Because sometimes control isn't the right approach. To put it another way, you can't stop a wave, but you can surf it. And surfing, we can agree, is better with a buddy. So then, try this. Think about your problem as if it were an actual object separate from yourself. Then, picture you and your helper teaming up against the problem. Pull a Clint Eastwood and imagine the problem sitting in an empty chair. The problem is no longer you or me, but a rampant, raging it. Call the problem it when you discuss it together. This is called unified detachment, a couples therapy technique pioneered by Dr. Andrew Christensen at UCLA and the late Dr. Neil Jacobson of the University of Washington. So, for example, you could say something like this. This credit card debt really needs to get fixed before it screws up our lives even more. It's taken on a life of its own. Can we chip away at it together?
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.
Reason number three is fear of owing a favor. Most of us don't like to feel indebted. It cools our response to a favor and makes us feel uncomfortable, as if our helper has one up on us. In this case, remind yourself of this. In a study of gratitude and indebtedness in couples, Dr. Sarah Aljo and colleagues at UCLA found that responding to little favors with gratitude, not a sense of indebtedness, was associated with relationship connection and satisfaction for both the helper and the helped. In fact, the researchers called gratitude a booster shot for the relationship. Then try this. First, before asking for help, consider both yourself and your helper. If your potential helper has a history of using guilt or obligation to manipulate you, seek out a different helper. Help given reluctantly and with strings creates a debt. Help given freely and with joy is a gift. Next, assuming your request for help is fulfilled, shift your feelings from one of indebtedness, like, I owe her, to one of gratitude, like, that was so nice of her. You'll know you've gotten it right if you feel inspired, not required, to give her a thoughtful gift in return. And when you're on the receiving end of a favor, for example, simply say this, thank you, I really appreciate that. Reason number four is fear of appearing weak. Or take your pick, fear of appearing needy, incompetent, broken, incapable, or stupid. Regardless, worry that we'll appear less than is the most common roadblock to asking for help. So in this case, remind yourself of this. In your own head, remind yourself that having someone to ask means you're supported and connected. Reframe the problem as an opportunity to consult with an expert, and reframe yourself as a savvy fixer using the best tools available. Then try this. Match the request with someone you consider an expert. Perhaps your cousin recently underwent a breast biopsy and can coach you through that mammogram you've been avoiding. Maybe your neighbor's middle school whiz kid can help you improve your website. In any case, ask for help as if you're inquiring about expert instruction, and they'll take it as a compliment. So, for example, you could say this. I remember the last time you looked for a job, you got one right away. Would you mind looking at my cover letter and giving me some pointers? Other helpful phrases include, can you show me? Can I pick your brain? Can I get your perspective on something? And it's been a long time since I've done this. Can you give me a refresher? Our last reason, reason number five, is fear of rejection. Once burned, twice shy. If someone said no when you really needed it, or if you've made yourself vulnerable and were met with a metaphorical slap in the face, it makes perfect sense why you're reluctant to try again. So in this case, remind yourself of this. First, look at your previous rejection another way. Does her refusal to help say more about you or more about her? Because some folks just aren't great at reading social scenarios. Others get scared, and some are, unfortunately, self-centered. Regardless, your potential helper's own issues may have tripped up the situation, not necessarily yours. So don't give up so easily. Assuming your request is reasonable, try again with someone else. Then, the next time you have to ask for help, decatastrophize. Pretend your worst fear comes true and your potential helper does say no. How bad is that? What's the worst that can happen? A no probably does nothing more than keep you in the position you're in. So then, try this. If you're still worried about the possibility of rejection, say so to diffuse your own tension. Any reasonable person will get the message and handle you with care. So for example, you could say, I'm hesitant to bring this up, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor. So let's sum up. Asking for help is hard, but so are most things worth doing. Bottom line, give graciously and receive graciously. Consider it karma. Consider it paying it forward. Consider it takes a village. In any case, consider it smart. Thanks for listening, and see you next week, when we'll take a psychological look at the perennial question, why am I so tired? I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson. I love to hear from listeners, so be one of the first to keep in touch on the Savvy Psychologist Facebook page or on Google+. A transcript of the podcast and references for the studies I mention are always available on quickanddirtytips.com. Finally, remember that the Savvy Psychologist is strictly for informational purposes and does not substitute for psychiatric care or psychotherapy by a licensed professional. So please do right by yourself and your loved ones, and always seek a licensed physician or psychologist in your area for all mental health-related questions. Thanks for listening, and see you next week for a happier, healthier mind.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career, so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.